Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, Millennials.
Welcome back to the Toast and Happy Monday. Hope everybody had a blessed, restorative, and gorgeous weekend. Speaking of gorgeous, hey, girly, how you doing? How you doing, Swirly? Swirly?
Swirl is doing good. I did have a gorgeous weekend. Thank you, Dana, joined me here this weekend. We had such a nice time. We created content. We watched TV together. We really had a great time, but I wanted to share with the class that we did an episode for Patreon, Jackson Dana Extravaganza, just going down memory lane. Like,
for those who might be new here, who's Dana?
Oh, Dana's my best friend from college. So we've been friends for like 13 years now.
She's one of the redheads.
And she's one of the redheads. We were talking on the episode. It's like, you couldn't pick two more different girls.
Never in your life.
To be best friends. But like, we're so similar in the things that matter, but optically, we're so different. And that's illustrated. Dana and I did a little vlog because when she goes on trips, she packs everything in a JanSport backpack, even for her 2-week honeymoon to Hawaii. So we did a bonus vlog of her showing how she packs in her JanSport because, of course, she brought her JanSport here. Like, that could never be me. Where's your skincare, girl?
Oh, it's literally the most insane thing ever. So not only for the fourth episode this month did everybody get a gorgeous podcast, you also got like a little bonus 10-minute vlog.
Yeah, which was really fun. So I had a great weekend with her. And if you want to see what we were up to, check out Patreon. But La Turd, how was your weekend?
Well, it was my first weekend at my new place, and it was just amazing. You know, it was full of natural light and happiness and food, and it was fabulous. And I just love my new home and just feeling so blessed, so excited to be here, feeling so different. Honestly, I feel different.
She's a new woman. So are you into the change now? Like, I know last week you were having cold feet. You were yelling at everyone.
I don't think that I was.
You were wishing. Roll it back. We'll do a reel. Roll it back.
I don't think that I was yelling at anyone.
Reels editor. Roll it.
No, I'm not like embracing change as a concept, but I'm.
It has its
merits.
I'm
pleased with this specific change. I'm not going to get a bob now.
It has its merits. It's okay, one step at a time.
One day. And what's so crazy is that it's literally not even Halloween yet.
I know, but it's been the Halloween for like 4 days, except I do have to send words of appreciation to everyone because I do feel like I usually start seeing Halloween costumes like 10 days before Halloween. And we only really started seeing them this Friday, which is appropriate with Halloween being on a Tuesday. At first, when I saw the first costume, I was like, oh, it's starting. But then I was like, girl, no, it's the weekend before Halloween. Like, this is kosher.
Same. And I feel like we got to a place like 2 years ago where people's costumes were so insane. They would just like get dressed up, have photo shoots and like not go to a party or like go trick or treating. They would just get dressed, take a picture.
For Instagram.
Yeah.
Or to do the TikTok.
Or they got like 4 different costumes, 4 different photo shoots. Like, it got to a place where it was insane. And I feel like this year has been very toned down. Like, people put on normal costumes, like went to a party. Like, of course, every celebrity goes to a costume, goes party. And now Kendall Jenner had like an 818 party. So they go to a party, get dressed. To get dressed in your house to not go anywhere is insane.
To do a photo shoot for Instagram, like, get your priorities in order. I agree. It was much more measured and purposeful.
Yeah.
And I didn't see any costumes that were like so dumb, you know, like Paris Hilton dressing as Britney Spears,
so cute.
Toxic. Like, perfect.
So cute.
Perfect. Happy Halloween.
No, like Hailey Bieber, she's Bambi or whatever that kid's name is from the Flintstones. Normal.
Oh, she was? I didn't
see
that.
Yeah, like a lot of people were just doing costumes that they sell at Halloween stores, but obviously like with the celebrity budget.
What do you think is the reason for the change?
By the way, there's a seismic shift. There has been a shift.
Maybe like typically when Halloween is being like stupid and extra large, it would have started like last weekend with parties and stuff, but maybe with like everything going on in the world, like just people did less?
I don't think so. Also, like, not me getting dressed up last weekend too.
What'd you do last weekend?
Ozempic skeleton.
True.
By the way, I've been insane because it's like, it's all work stuff. Like last weekend was the Spritz event. So obviously I had to go and dress up. This weekend was actually Halloween weekend. So I dressed up on Saturday and I'm literally dressing up twice tomorrow in the morning and in the night.
Oh my God. I didn't even realize you dressed up for Halloween.
Jackie, I've become one of those people.
You're like the only one of those people this year too.
I know, but like I have to. It's for work. Like I will be dressing up four times.
I'm not shaming you. I'm just
I will be dressing up remarking. Four times and three of them are work commitments, okay? First one was Spritz party. Tomorrow morning is Toast-a-ween. Tomorrow night me and Ben are going to Heidi Klum's Halloween party. And then the fourth time, which was this weekend, was just regular Halloween.
Yeah, what'd you do?
I went to a party that had like the most insane theme. It was technically Dante's Inferno. What the hell is that? So they sent out a mood board. Hell. They sent out a mood board and it's like nine circles of hell. So it was a 9-page mood board for each circle of hell. I guess based on my outfit, I was the violent circle. I don't know.
Whose party was this?
I don't know. I'm not going to slander. It was just, honestly, I looked great though.
They sent out a mood board?
That's like the thing now. When you do a theme, you send out a mood board. It's insane.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
What about just, you know.
Under the Sea.
80s.
Famous couples throughout history.
It always comes back to famous couples throughout history.
And by the way, now that I've like been to a lot of themed parties, I can tell you there would be no greater theme than famous couples throughout history. Like it's such an opportunity to be creative, to be like funny.
And I like to have creative freedom while also having parameters because I feel like when it's a Halloween party, it's like you could be anything. It does get kind of hard when you could have so many options. But then when you whittle it down, famous couples throughout history, it's like, okay, there are so many, yet it is like limited and more specific.
Famous couples throughout history is the greatest party theme, period. My next birthday party, by the way, is famous couples throughout history.
You say this every year on your birthday. Like kind of.
Okay, by the way, I'm doing it. Someone remind me.
What couple would you be?
Oh, I'm not telling you. I don't even have.
Do you have it? Where's your mind like going? We could, could work through some ideas.
I think about famous couples throughout history so much, but not what I would actually be.
You could be Posh and Bex.
Yeah, I was thinking like, I don't know, like a little bit more historical.
Like Victoria and Albert?
No, like a little bit more current, you know?
Like Elizabeth and Philip?
Like kind of, but that's basic.
Kate and William?
Basic.
Oh, okay. You're so cool.
I am. Wait, I have something to say. You know, I've been on my rewatch journey of The Nanny.
Yeah.
I finally finished it. And me and Ben were like, what should we rewatch? I actually called you. We were maybe going to start Community. I've been wanting to start Gilmore Girls. But I was like, you know what? I have never done a full rewatch of Gossip Girl. I feel like every person has multiple times. I watched it when it aired and I literally never saw it again. Same with Ben. So we started it last night. We're on episode 2. And let me tell you, I was shocked.
Why?
Shocked. Nobody talks about, because I remember, like, you know, the big moments. I know, like, Chuck and Blair, OTP, we're obsessed with Chuck. Does nobody remember the first two episodes where he legitimately, like, attempts to rape two women? Jackie, I was shocked. Serena and Jenny, like, violently. I'm like, me and Ben are looking at each other. We're like, wait, this happened? I don't know how he becomes the hero. I guess I'll find out. But, like, you're kidding me. He's disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true.
Nobody talks about that.
Yeah.
Me and Ben were shocked. Like, it wasn't like he just tried to kiss someone. Like, he literally was being insane.
Yeah, and the roof was
the roof. The roof.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Nobody talks about that. Like, and I look forward to seeing how they, you know, bury that.
Yeah.
Because to me, it's shocking.
Yeah, that's a plot hole for
a
sure.
A big plot hole. And another element of the show, it's just like a little difficult for me to get around, like, is the cringe. Like, it's so like, hey, Upper East Siders, regular people eat brunch. The Upper East Siders have brunch. Like, it's so cringe.
Yeah.
I'm sure it gets better because, like, literally was the pilot and then the second episode. Like, I'll give it some time. But me and Ben were like, I just don't remember this. And I bet when I was a teenager, because Gossip Girl was my life, like I thought I was a character. I bet I thought it was so cool. It's literally like Loserville.
Stop. Well, I rewatched it recently. I don't even know if I got through the whole first season. So that like tells you that I obviously wasn't like desperate to keep watching.
Also, not them literally telling us who Gossip Girl is in the first episode.
Yeah, but don't you feel like that was a coincidence?
Maybe.
I feel like they didn't know who Gossip Girl was going to be until the finale.
But if you watch that first episode, it's abundantly clear.
But then also, like, throughout the seasons, it doesn't make sense that Jan is Gossip Girl. I'm pretty sure he, like, outed that Jenny lost her virginity.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, so I don't think they knew that, spoiler alert, Dan was going to be Gossip Girl until the end when they were trying to make a decision. Because in the books, it's never revealed.
It shouldn't have been revealed.
I thought it was just, like, some wannabe.
Yeah, of course. No, but in the first episode, the episode ends with, like, the Gossip Girl monologue, Kristen Bell's voice, and she goes, "And who am I?" Literally cut to Dan sitting at his computer. He's on the Gossip Girl website.
Yeah, because it looked like he was just reading Gossip Girl. It could have been a coincidence.
It can't. Like, it literally can't.
Well, good for them if they really plotted that out all along.
Oh, and another thought. It's interesting just how, like, your thoughts change as you grow up. Like, when I remember growing up, every time they would, like, show the Humphreys, I'm like, please stop showing me these people. Let me tell you, they had such a nice life. Like, their family was full of love. Rufus was such a good dad. He was a single dad. Jenny and Dan were so close. Like, what siblings, like, are that close in high school? What a lovely shalom bayit they had. Like, for real.
No, but their issue was that they went to that school that
they
then
got corrupted.
Made them, like, Jenny.
Yeah, they got corrupted.
And then, like, Rufus is, like, living large with Lily.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And Dan just becomes, like, a man whore.
Yeah. It's just interesting.
No, but it is cute how, like, throughout, in the beginning, like, you know, Serena goes to the Humphreys and, like, she experiences, like,
a real family.
Is like, and same with Blair when she goes to that diner in Brooklyn with them that one time. I think it was, like, Christmas or something.
Yeah. I just want to, like, say justice for the Humphreys. They were good, Hamish, down-to-earth, salt-of-the-earth people.
They started that way.
Yeah. But then,
just
but then
until Jenny's
Upper
like,
East Side corruption.
Yeah, no, it was the Upper East Side
corruption. Guys,
but also,
the,
like,
show is dumb. Jenny, like,
Jenny was, like, just too desperate. Like, you'll get
there.
Oh,
by the way, that comes through in episode one. Like,
and so,
but she's so young. Oh my God.
Yeah, and there was just so much temptation in that Upper East Side lifestyle.
Yeah, but no, like, Brooklyn was where it's at. Like, Brooklyn was where, like, the good family values were.
Yes.
Oh my God. It's actually very interesting to watch.
Okay, well, keep us posted on your thoughts. I started Lessons in Chemistry, which is the Apple TV show that's based on the book Lessons in Chemistry. We read it for the Redheads last year, and we loved it. And the show is so good.
Really?
Yeah, in the beginning, give it a second, because at first I was like, this is cringe. But then it's beautiful. I think you'll like it even if you didn't read the book, but you're going to be really shocked by what the story is.
Like, they changed it?
I don't even know if you... No, but, like, watching the show is less shocking because I know what's going to happen.
Yeah, right.
If you don't know what's
going to
happen,
book.
I know, but I feel like you don't know which specific thing I'm talking about.
Is it about her man?
Yeah.
Duh.
When you're watching the show, like, you just think that's the last thing that's going to happen.
When I was reading the book, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And honestly, I was, like, over the book when that happened. I'm like, you're not kidding me, right?
So I'm on episode 4, but now I have no time for TV because I'm reading the next Redheads book, The Dead Romantics. I'm 40% in. It's really cute. I actually think you might like it because it's about a writer girl who writes smut.
It's about Carol Raswell?
Who writes smut.
Obsessed.
And she references, like, all the greats, you know.
It Happened One Summer.
Yeah, like Red, White, and Royal Blue reference. Like, they reference other authors because it's, like, about the publishing world. She's a ghostwriter for, like, a big
smut
writer.
Oh, it's, like, younger.
Yes. No, because it's also about ghosts. But
I'm out.
It's our Halloween pick. So
that's funny. I can't do books that are not based in reality. Like, The Measure, I didn't like. I'm reading Fourth Wing now. I'm having such a hard time. I don't get it.
I know.
I don't get it.
You have to have patience.
Do you notice anything different about me? Because we need to talk about, like, what's going on.
You're wearing a color that you never wear.
Okay, you probably can't see me. Hold on.
Oh, blue jeans.
I'm wearing blue jeans.
And my favorite shoes. I can't see your jeans, but you also never wear that color sweater.
No, I don't. It's from Stitch Fix. I'm, like, kind of obsessed with Stitch Fix. But I'm wearing jeans today. Yeah, let's talk about it.
Tell me how you feel.
Yeah, interview me about the jeans.
You're wearing jeans today.
Blue jeans.
Is this your first time wearing blue jeans or first time in recent memory?
This might be my first time ever wearing blue jeans. Definitely blue jeans and definitely jeans that aren't skinny.
And where did you purchase these jeans?
Well, when I went on my whole tirade after the NFL game about not having jeans, I was reached out to by many a company, and these are Old Navy.
What size are they?
That's a good question. I actually don't know. They fit like a dream.
What is the cut?
I have no idea.
Like,
boot?
They're not skinny.
No, but they, like, they're tapered. They get
straight leg.
Straight leg.
Straight leg.
Straight leg, yes.
I like a straight leg.
I like a straight leg too.
And how do you feel in these jeans?
I do feel good, but like, does society talk about like how many more wedgies you get when you're wearing jeans? Like, I actually have to stick my hand down my pants and rip my undies from my butt. Like,
oh, you're like Leonardo DiCaprio's girlfriend. Oh,
did she pick her wedgie?
She stuck her hand down his pants. It's a story today.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I did see that. I didn't even know he had a new girlfriend.
Yeah.
Also, we need to talk about one thing. So like, not to make everything about me, but over the weekend, I sliced my finger open while being like so fat. I was so hungry. I like needed this bagel. I was being so reckless. And of course, like, it was traumatic. I'm not looking for sympathy, but I'm wearing a Band-Aid. And we need to talk about how wearing a Band-Aid, I don't think there's anything uglier than a Band-Aid.
Yeah, well, they do make, you know, fun ones for kids like you.
But okay, I'm wearing like a beige Band-Aid. Like, it's just like, I feel disgusting. I feel like Juni Cortez.
Not just that it's ugly, but that it's really unsanitary. It just like gets wet and then dry. And it just carries all these things around with it.
No, it's sick.
It is pretty sick.
I just
Rufu Shlema.
I just feel like not enough people talk about how like wearing a Band-Aid like ruins your whole look. You could be going to the Met Gala like in the most, the finest threads. And like, if you're wearing a Band-Aid, like, go, leave.
Speaking of injuries, sort of, I saw something this morning. I'm wondering if you saw it, the hockey player thing.
I did.
I literally just saw it on X, and I hadn't seen it anywhere else. Like, I haven't even seen it on Instagram, but like, there was a hockey game and one player like kicked another player in the throat, but you know, they wear skates. Right. So he sliced his throat and he died.
On the ice. Did it happen like, in Canada?
Oh, I don't know, but he killed him.
Yeah, I don't know if he kicked him. I didn't see that. I saw that it was like a freak thing.
But how do you freakishly get your foot in someone's throat?
I can't believe it's not a bigger story, because I saw it on TikTok and people were like, rip, rip. I'm like, what? He died?
Yeah, people are saying it's like a freak thing, but like, other people are saying like, this is manslaughter.
No, it's the saddest thing ever. Like, he was literally dead on the ice, like that whole arena full of people.
Yeah, no, he like went down in this like blood pool, and then he later died from the injury.
No, I saw it too. I'm so glad you brought that up. I was shook and I couldn't believe more people weren't talking about it, but I think it's because it's not an American league. I'm pretty sure it was like Canadian. Not that it doesn't. Oh. Not that it's not important because it happened in Canada. I'm just saying we're here in America.
Or it just happened and like it'll cycle through the news and because it's jarring to see.
I know. It's traumatizing for the people who are there.
He died. He was murdered playing a game.
No, it's insane. Insane.
It's insane.
I saw it too.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Me neither. But like, it does. Like,
do they press charges?
It does kind of beg the question, like, why are we skating around on like knives? Like, I know that's how you skate, but like, maybe we should do it in a roller rink.
No, but like, you're not meant to lift your leg. And like, you're a professional athlete. Like, you know that you have control of your leg.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's really nuts.
So that was shocking to see this morning.
Yeah, really sad.
Amongst other things, the news is just
terrible.
It's hard to pick stories because I am confronted with, like, you know, I'm on Daily Mail. Of course. They have everything.
They have everything.
They have world news. They have celeb news. And like,
by the way, another.
And then I'm supposed to do the show.
A really sad story I'm sure we're going to talk about is Matthew Perry. Mm-hmm. I have so many thoughts.
Okay. Yeah, that's our first story. If you want to get into it.
Is there anything else you want to get into?
Well, you didn't ask me about my beef stew.
No, I didn't. I own that. I can own my own shit. I did not ask you about your beef stew. Tell all.
It was really good. I liked it because it was a one pot dish.
You liked it because?
I like it.
Cool.
It was a one pot dish.
OPD.
So pretty easy cleanup. It's like you just have to assemble it and then leave it. Kind of like a chili, but like way less chopping and actually a lot less manpower than a chili. Okay. And it was super hearty. I couldn't get enough. We finished it. There was not a scrap left. I wish I made more. And I said this on the Patreon, but I wish that I added more vegetables so that I had like more meal. Mm-hmm. It like wasn't enough meal, even though it was beef, carrots, potatoes, onions stew.
Beef, beans, tomatoes, potatoes. That sounds nice. I'm so happy. It's totally like stew season. Get your big caraway, Dutch oven, whatever you got, like Le Creuset, get it out like and leave it on the counter because it's the season and I'm so excited about it. Actually, I've been making so much content in my new house. Like, it just, I'm gonna become like a new, like an aesthetic content girly. It's just so easy in my new home, like with all the natural light.
Oh, what's your beat? Like, what kind of content are we gonna, can we expect to see? Like, food, fashion, I
think,
lifestyle?
I think the content you can expect to see, hopefully, is sponsored, like, if I'm being honest. No, it is that season, like, Q4. I'm booked and busy. Make sure to like and subscribe, you know? Support your girl.
For sure. Like and subscribe to me, too.
Yeah, no, Yeah, like me first and then Jackie.
Oh, you think?
Well, yeah, because I said it first.
I feel like it depends what kind of content you're looking to serve. Why don't you make the case for yours?
If you're a human being, you'll like my content.
That's kind of a low bar these days because not a lot of people are.
It's so true, by the way. Not me like literally losing 15,000 followers in the last couple of days.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Do you think I give a fuck? Bye.
They weren't human beings.
Right. No, like if you are bothered by like me speaking on anti-Semitism, like, please, I'm literally begging you. Go to sleep.
She only wants the human beings, you guys.
Oh, also, speaking of go to sleep, and we actually have really good stories today. That Vanity Fair article that we talked about last week is, you know, this big expose was coming out, Vanity Fair, about Bravo. It dropped this morning. I did read about 75% of it. It's really long.
It's really long, and they had a word count to hit. You know, there's advertisers. I had to do the reader view because they wouldn't let me read the article without becoming like a subscriber of Vanity Fair.
Really? Mine was totally fine.
Because if they put their pop-up up, and then I was like, no, go back to Vanity Fair and bring me back to the homepage. I couldn't stay on the article. So I hit reader view really fast. So I got the reader view, but I don't get all the pictures.
Oh, I saw the pictures. And there were a couple housewives who are part of it. A bunch remained anonymous, but a bunch, they had a whole photo shoot. Like,
I didn't get to see because I was on reader
view. Oh, it was actually really beautiful photography.
Justice for me.
JFU.
So we'll get into that. I think we could get into the stories now. Without further ado, here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
And the Fast Five stories that you need to know are brought to you by Drizly, the go-to app for drink delivery. Drizly is the most convenient way to get beer, wine, and spirits delivered to your doorstep right when you want it. Drizly's tailored experience lets you find the perfect drink for the occasion, no matter what it is. You'll save time by shopping a huge selection of drinks from wherever you are. You'll also save money by comparing prices on drinks across multiple stores. So it's great for gifting, whether you are going to someone's house for a dinner party, it's holiday party season, you know, you told your husband to go pick up the gift, he obviously forgot to do it. Drizly can save the day while you're getting ready. Order it. It'll be there before you leave. You can also schedule deliveries. So if you're going to a party in the future, you know your husband's probably going to forget. You could just schedule it, have it sent to your door, their door. It's perfect for the holiday season. They've got the planned and last minute gifter covered with the option to schedule ahead, ship, and deliver gifts on demand. Drizly is a fabulous app to also discover new beverages if you're just like browsing, looking for something new. In a lot of states, you can get Spritz Society on Drizly, which is why it's a favorite over here at The Toast. So download the Drizly app. Or go to drizly.com, that's drizly.com. Use code TOAST to receive $5 off or a $0 delivery fee off your next order. You must be 21 or older. It's not valid in all states. Codes cannot be combined with any other offers. Not valid at all retailers. Code expires November 10th, 2023, 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, so download the Drizly app or go to drizly.com, that's drizly.com, and use code TOAST. Today's episode is also brought to you by Legacy Box. Friends and family gathering for the holidays is always going to bring up memories of holidays past, moments you wish you could go back and relive. And with Legacy Box, you can. Reliving moments of holidays past is easy with Legacy Box. Trusted by over a million families, including ours, Legacy Box is simple, affordable, and safe. Legacy Box is also the brand I feel like I get the most DMs about, being like, what was that company? Because you guys aren't listening. Well, listen up, because now it's holiday season, and this is really like the best gift. If you're going to be spending time with your family over the holidays, do the Legacy Box now and share it with them all for the holidays. It's literally the best gift. And starting now, our listeners get early access to their best sale of the year, which can digitize your tapes for as low as $9 a tape. So Legacy Box is a company that's going to digitize all of your home memories. We grew up in the VHS era. We had so many VHSs just sitting in a basement, which is so dangerous because the elements, you know, a flood, the air, it can melt, a bunch of different things. You should take care of it now. And the process is really easy. Send in your Legacy Box filled with old VHS tapes, camcorder tapes, and pictures, and their team will professionally digitize everything by hand in the USA. You'll get it back on the cloud or a thumb drive along with the originals. They digitize over 15 types of analog media like VHS, Super 8mm, film reels, photo negatives. They have got you covered. So think of all the Christmas mornings you recorded. Relive those memories with your family this holiday season on the big screen. Relive the most important memories and take advantage of Legacy Box's best sale of the year when you visit LegacyBox.com/toast. You'll get early access to the Black Friday sale and start digitizing your memories for as low as $9 a tape. That's over sixty percent off. LegacyBox.com/toast. Today's episode is also brought to you by Kitsch. Game changing. That's what Kitsch's biggest fans say about their time-saving beauty essentials for hair, skin, and body. So are you ready to change the beauty game? Whatever your budget, whatever your skin or hair type, Kitsch believes that you deserve little indulgences at affordable prices morning, noon, and night. So Maybe you've seen their satin pillowcases, the caps and eye masks, which are great for your hair and skin while you sleep. Or maybe you've seen their heatless satin curling rollers where people are saying goodbye to heat damage. Whatever you're looking for, Kitsch has got it. I've discovered so many like new beauty things from Kitsch. I now wear a silk eye mask and a silk pillowcase because my hair used to wake up. Like I could get the best blowout. Chris Appleton could do my hair before I went to sleep. And if I don't use my Kitsch products, when I wake up, it's completely gone. Saves me so much time in the morning. I can wake up a lot later. Thank God for that. They also have shampoo and conditioner bars, which is a part of bottle-free beauty. Plus, right now, for a limited time, you can live the Barbie dream life with their Barbie by Kitsch collection, featuring Kitsch's best-selling satin pillowcase in iconic Barbie pink. So right now, Kitsch is offering you 30% off your entire order at mykitsch.com/toast. That's right, 30% off anything and everything at mykitsch, KITSCH.com/toast. One more time, that's mykitsch.com/toast for 30% off your order. Take care of your hair and skin, whatever you need. I love their claw clips. Whatever you need, just go to the website and you will find what you're looking for. Hair, skin, otherwise, it's a great company founded by women. They have a cult-like following and they are creating game-changing essentials that beauty enthusiasts swear by, like the satin pillowcases and time-saving towels. They know hair care doesn't stop in the shower. Thank you.
Thank you, Claude.
You're welcome.
Okay, our first story is the big news from this weekend, which was that Matthew Perry sadly passed away. His autopsy is complete with toxicology results pending, says the medical examiner. So the investigation into Matthew Perry's death continues. The LA County Medical Examiner's Office confirmed to Page Six on Sunday that an autopsy was completed for the late Friends alum. However, the doctor has ordered more testing, including toxicology. All of these results remain pending, and his cause of death has been deferred for the time being. Matthew Perry died on Saturday at the age of 54, with his assistant finding him unresponsive in his LA home's hot tub after an apparent drowning. TMZ reported at the time that there was no signs of foul play. TMZ also claimed that although illicit drugs were not found on site, there were multiple prescriptions on the premises, including antidepressants, anti-anxiety drugs, and a COPD drug. The actor had spoken candidly about his alcohol and opioid struggles over the years, detailing his sobriety journey in his memoir last year, Friends, Lovers, and the Big Terrible Thing.
Okay. This was, you know, I feel like we report on celebrity deaths a lot, and not all of them, like, really, like, stop you in your tracks. I feel like because he was on Friends, so many people feel so connected to him. It's so many people's like comfort show. It's so many people's show that they watch with their families. They just like have really positive memories from it. And his character is like the big funny man. And I just saw it and I was so upset and so sad, especially because he's been so open about his battle with addiction. And I think based on, you know, a lot of the details that have come out, like it's clear that he lost his battle with addiction. And so I think anybody who struggles with addiction feels this even harder because not only did he struggle publicly, he also recovered publicly and he started a house for men who are struggling with addiction. He wrote about it in his book, how he does so much work in the, you know, recovery community. And so for somebody, I think he just means a lot to a lot of people, whether it's Friends or whether it's, you know, because he's kind of a spokesperson for addiction, that it just hit people so hard, myself included. Like, I'm so sad, like really, really sad. And I had been wanting to read his book, and now I think I'm definitely gonna read it. I think there's a lot of things that are being pulled from it. You know, I've seen like a bunch of TikToks and stuff. And one of the things he said was like, you know, when my time comes, I know that everyone will remember me from Friends. And that's great that I made this thing that people love and could laugh at and be entertained by. But I really hope I'll be remembered for like the work that I did in the addiction world. And so I don't know, it's just, it's so like eerie to hear someone talk about their own death. This was like literally 2 years ago probably when he wrote it. It's just terrible. It's so sad. This is just one that really hit you right in the gut.
Yeah, really shocking. So many people are like speaking out tributes, but it's like, it's so sad when someone passes before their time.
Yeah. And I think people are so obsessed with like the interpersonal relationships of all the friends and they're waiting for like everyone to speak. I think a lot of people are really waiting for Jennifer Aniston to speak because like the big bombshell from his book was like he has and always will be like in love with Jennifer Aniston. Like she was it for him. And
but there's no, he doesn't have any bad blood with any of the Friends cast members today. Oh, so everyone like will speak in their own time, but it's like they're probably grieving much more than the fans. Like to then also have to put out a statement that's going to be like, you know, picked apart and you want it, like it's just too much. Like take your time.
Yeah, no, but they are all good.
Yeah, good, good.
There was a time where like David Schwimmer like was being, but he got his, he reeled it in.
Yeah, Devo.
Devo extraordinaire.
Yeah.
Also, you're not being pulled over, you guys. There's like a cop car right behind me. Like they don't even care that I'm podcasting.
No, they don't respect the toast.
They don't respect the toast. They don't respect me. Okay, it's gone. This was just so upsetting. And it's so interesting how so many people are having like such personal reactions to this, because he just like was that guy, especially like, I think if this happened, you know, with any of the cast members of Friends, it's just that type of show. But Chandler specifically like was the comedic relief of the show. He's like this big teddy bear. And it's just really sad, like really, really, really sad.
Yeah.
And like really kind of creepy, like weird, like these things just like that happen are so weird. His last Instagram post is him in his jacuzzi, and they believe the jacuzzi is where he was found.
Yes.
Just like,
oh, wow.
Creepy.
Yeah, very. Well, hopefully we'll have like more answers soon as to what happened with the toxicology report. But
and not to go on like my Dennis's funeral sort of rampage again, but did you see the paparazzi footage of like his parents showing up to his house?
No.
It's just fucking horrible. A lot of people don't know that Matthew Perry's stepdad is that guy Keith Morrison who hosts Dateline, like the classic guy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And they were very, very close. And so he's at the house and his Matthew Perry's parents are pulling up and there's 55 photographers and they're just trying to get out of their car. It's just dead silent. Nobody's saying anything. It's just so weird.
That is so weird.
I know, like the element of the media and paparazzi culture when it comes to death, the fact that nothing changes, like from just regular, you know, celebrity getting gas, there's no sort of decorum. There's no, it's really insane to me. And that's why I'm always going off about Dennis's funeral.
Yes, it always comes back to Dennis's funeral.
It does, because the exact, like, two grieving parents, let them get out of their fucking car.
Yeah.
And you know those, like, Hollywood Hills streets, small and windy. Like, there's nowhere for them to go.
The winding Hollywood roads.
Literally, give me goosebumps and chills.
Yeah. So I'm sure we'll be talking about him all week. I hope you do read his book and maybe
share some
of his wisdom with the class.
He was just like this really like Hamish guy. I had watched his 60 Minutes special. No, what's 60 Minutes? Like Diane Sawyer type of thing. To promote his book. And
I remember. And we were talking about him all the time this time last year.
And I was really moved by it. But I also felt like everything that was in the book was in the interview, because it was like a long thing. But so many quotes are now being pulled and I'm just seeing like things on social media. Like he talked extensively about dating Julia Roberts. He like could not believe that he dated Julia Roberts, because she was like the biggest movie star, and he was a big TV star, but TV back in the day, like TV was gross. Like nobody like TV was like lower than movies.
Pedestrian.
And he said, I just could not believe it. Every time she called me, well, actually he said every time she would send me a fax, that's how they communicated, I thought it was going to be her breaking up with me. And I got to the point where I was so insecure, like I actually broke up with her, because I just couldn't stand being in a relationship waiting for that person to break up with me. And he said the look of confusion on Julia Roberts' face when I broke up with her was something I'll never forget. That's what he said.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm definitely going to read his book once I get through this fourth wing that I'm hating.
What percent are you through fourth wing?
Like 15.
Oh, 30.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to stick with it.
You got to dedicate time. Like, you got to get through a big chunk.
Maybe I'll see if my book club wants to do it. I keep bringing up memoirs and like everybody's so against it.
Your book club should do fourth wing.
No, I meant Matthew Perry.
Oh.
Because they all love Friends in my book club.
Well, I don't want to tease anything, but Dana and I were, she has the next pick for Redheads. Mm-hmm. And she like didn't know what to pick. And I don't want to like spoil it.
Don't.
But I think don't.
No.
But I think people will be excited.
Okay, go.
Take a guess.
Brittany? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, you gotta.
It's Dana's choice, but she was like loving the choice, because she was like, I probably wouldn't read it if it not for Redheads. There's nothing else that she was like dying to pick. And we like to pick a book that's like kind of buzzy. Because then more people are introduced to the Redheads.
Yeah, of course. Buzzy is good.
Yeah, like Fourth Wing.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, no, you got to be on trend. And also, I do think Brittany's book is good.
Yeah, and I think it would make for a really good episode. So I think we're going to do it.
I love that.
And that's just a little behind the scenes sneak peek.
So you're saying the Redheads are trying to find the woman in me. Is that what you're saying?
All we need is time. I can't sing it without singing it like you and
I know
in your special.
I know.
All I need is time.
Don't a moment like that? That is mine. Yeah.
While I'm in between.
That's literally the best song. I'm not a girl.
I'm not a girl. Don't tell me what to believe.
Not yet a woman.
I'm just trying to find the woman in me.
It's such a beautiful song. And like not it, it being is. From Crossroads. Like,
but whenever I see the title, The Woman in Me, I always sing of the song, and it brings out the woman in me.
No, it only brings me to Crossroads.
It feels like the first time. It feels like the very first time.
Feels like an episode of Glee today.
It's, oh, that's, have you been here?
No, but that's such a Glee song.
Like, it reminds me of Pitch Perfect.
Same thing.
What song is that?
Feels like the first time, right? It's definitely.
If I search Woman in Me lyrics. It,
no, it's like it's such a Mr. Shoe song.
No, it's to definitely me, it's like Journey. Skylar Astin.
Who sings It Feels Like the First Time?
Oh, I.
Who? The Foreigner? I don't even know who that is.
Foreigner. Oh, so it's just like Journey.
Yeah, where they have Mr. Like one Shoe. Song. Mr. Shoe.
Okay, but I
Jackie,
do want to know
think if Journey. I think Journey has more than one song.
No, no, one song that we know.
By the way, you can't tell me that Journey, Bono, and U2, and wait, is Journey Bon Jovi? Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No?
Bon Journey?
Wait. What band is Bon Jovi? Or is he just Bon Jovi?
He's just Bon Jovi.
And Bono's just Bono?
Bono's U2.
Classic, yeah. And who's Journey?
Journey's like kind of freaky. Journey band.
You're telling me? Yeah.
Journey's like a bunch of people you don't know. Steve Perry.
Oh, okay. And so Bon Jovi is the name of the band, but it's lead singer is John Bon Jovi. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, and hold on.
Who?
Hold on. Hold on a minute.
Okay.
I'm looking up Journey Band, and we have the vocalist, lead guitar, bass guitar, Randy Jackson.
It's just a common name. There's no way.
No, it's a picture.
Wait, wait.
No, wait. Claudia.
Wait. Journey. I don't believe you. No, that's not him. I'm looking at a picture of the band, and it's five white guys. It's not Randy Jackson.
Oh, then the on legend. Mine, Claudia, on mine, it is Randy Jackson.
What do you mean on yours? What website are you on?
Just on Google, like when you go down to members.
Oh.
Search Journey Band.
I went to Journey Band Google Images, and it's five old white men okay. with long hair.
Okay, now go to Google page, Journey Band, and scroll. Like right above songs, it says members, and it's a picture of Randy Jackson.
No way.
Yes.
You're right. It does say that. Jackie, former member of Journey, Santana.
Carlos?
It just says Santana. Is that Carlos Santana? No, Santana's a band. Okay, I'm honestly confused.
Wait, Journey is American rock band formed by the former members of Santana.
Steve Miller yeah. Band.
And isn't Santana, don't they have that song Santeria? Or is that Santana?
No, that's not Santana. I ain't got no Santeria. I don't think that's Santana. That's like one of Ben's favorite songs.
Okay, but Carlos Santana is the guitarist for Santana.
And Carlos Santana is a founding member of The Toast as well, because if you remember, if you know, you know.
If you know, you know. But like, I'm so in a place of these bands, I have no idea what
I know.
I'm talking about.
That's what I'm saying. So Bon Jovi, the point I was trying to make, John, Living on a Prayer, that's it. It's my life. So emo.
Yeah, that's a good song.
The day, the music.
That's a good song. I think it'll do well.
I think it'll do well, too. I'm happy for them.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah, that was like the
craziest
tangent.
I don't even know how
tangent.
To go back. I don't know how to go back to where we came from.
Just go.
Actually, I do. The Woman in Me.
Yes.
Our next story, Vanity Fair Bravo expose dropped, called Inside the Real Housewives Reckoning That's Rocking Bravo. Amid disturbing allegations, Bethany Frankel's called for a union and a whole lot of drinking, reality TV's most popular stars are facing their demons. So Vanity Fair has been working on this for a few months. We shared, they sat down with former Housewives Bethany Frankel. Leah McSweeney lended her voice to the interviews. Who else did you hear from?
Ebony K. Williams.
Yes.
Hers and Leah, both of their stories. It's interesting because I think they were speaking, and I didn't finish the whole article because it was so long, but I really read most of it.
I'm only up to Leah's part.
So it sounds like so much of the toxicity they're talking about is honestly confined to the Real Housewives of New York.
Interesting. Well, also maybe that's like the people who spoke out, Bethany, Leah.
That's Ebony. True.
But also most of what they're talking about that I've read so far is the drinking problem, which yes. we've talked about so often on the show. And that also was the biggest factor for Real Housewives of New York. Like it was.
But also the biggest factor for Real Housewives of New York is think about the time. And this is Ebony's experience that she's talking about is literally was the drinking. And then the final season was the first time they had a black cast member, right?
Yeah.
And so much went on. And I remember hearing stuff like investigations were being whatever. And that we never got like conclusive anything as to what actually happened. And right. they're talking about it and like Ebony's experience. And it's really centered a lot around Ramona. Like apparently she used the N-word like colloquially. And Ramona's responding, like, so many of, like, the people talked about in this article, like, NBC executives, Andy Cohen, Bravo people were reached out to for comment, and none of them responded. Literally, Ramona is answering every single prompt.
Yeah, because I saw that charge, and she said never.
She said never, and then it comes back again. They have, so when they hired Ebony, they also hired, like, a bunch of female black producers. And when a new producer comes on, like they usually get introduced to everyone, it's made clear what exactly this person is going to be doing. And so the castmates will then respect the person. But all like when they brought on a bunch of black producers, they like didn't introduce them to anyone. So they would like try, the new producers would try and like text Ramona and Luann and Sonia, and not one of them would literally respond or acknowledge. They didn't know who these people were. It was never made clear. And then Ramona was like basically trying to say like when she grew up, she was referred to as a shiksa by some of her Jewish friends. And she says to this new black producer, you know, that's like someone calling you.
Oh.
And Ramona denies that it happened, but there are a bunch of people who corroborate that it did happen. So that is what started this whole investigation into Got Ramona it. And then Roni Legacy. And they never told anyone what happened. The investigation was inconclusive because Ebony went to HR and was like, what the fuck? Like, and they were like, sorry, the report was inconclusive. So a lot of, I think the downfall of, or kind of the basis of this article is really about like the last couple of years of Roni, because that's Leah too. Leah comes on, she's 10 years sober. She downplays it because she's told like, it won't be very interesting. And she told a producer during like her interviews and auditions that she was like kind of like drinking again, and they like loved that.
Yeah, but she also said that like because she didn't want them to know that she had relapsed is what I read.
Yes.
Like, because then that would be her storyline, like that she relapsed, as opposed to her narrative was like she goes in and out of drinking.
Right.
Which people do.
Yes, which people do. And she was very convincing when she said that. I was like, okay, I guess some people
can do
that.
Yeah, it was like, same.
Yeah. Also, what's something I learned from this article that I found really interesting is this concept of hot sheets. So like after every day of production, they like put into writing everything that happened. And it's very like not PC. It's stuff that's never supposed to see. You know, the public is never supposed to see. And they send it to a bunch of executives, including Andy. And Andy sends notes. And they actually have like a lot of transcripts of those hot sheets and Andy's notes in return.
How do they have that?
There are a bunch of people who spoke off the record from production companies, from maybe Bravo, who have those emails. They're not confidential. They're not classified.
I haven't seen anything. I mean, the whole thing is pretty damning for Bravo, but not
more
totally.
So for reality TV in general. I don't think there's anything that's Bravo specific.
Unexpected. Like that's what, you know.
You would expect from, you watch the show, it's clear.
Yeah, but did you see any comments from Andy that like you think he really needs to answer for?
I mean like, yeah, but Bravo's not like this. Like, I feel like crazy stuff happens on Bravo all the time.
Yeah.
And they just kind of like move on, you know?
Yeah. And because there's so many people in production companies, there's no one person that's going to be held accountable. It would be Andy, I think he's like distanced himself enough. Now his line is like, I'm not their boss anymore. I'm not in charge.
Yep.
So there's no one to be like, hey, can you fix the culture around here?
It's true. But I also think it's probably not a Bravo specific cultural thing. Like it's a reality TV type of thing. And that's more so what Bethany's trying to say with her union.
Yeah, no, and it's an issue because it's the reality TV is like the exploitation of people's personal lives, and you want it to be interesting, so you have to dial up the crazy, but then your personal life is affected. Like it's this catch 22.
Yeah, and I also think that when I was reading a lot of the stuff, especially about drinking, I don't really see that as like a Bravo cultural thing. I just see that as like a thing in the culture, like getting so blacked out and peeing your pants and not remembering and waking up in a pool of your own like fluids. That's just like 2023 things. That's like not just a Bravo thing.
I totally agree. It's a Bachelor thing too. It's a Vanderpump Rules. It's also a reality TV thing because that's an easy way to be more interesting. Let me get drunk and see what happens. I don't have to like get imaginative.
Yeah, but like it the is bar.
An issue in the culture. Right. I agree. We've talked about this like a lot. Not so much recently. I feel like we used to talk about it more, like how alcohol centric like our culture is and like binge drinking, not just like having a glass of wine. Like everything is just
extreme
with the drinking, and I don't think it was always like this.
Yeah, no, it's definitely it's just like a part of life now, like post-grad life.
But I don't think it's a good, I think it's something that needs to be like addressed in some way, because I think it contributes to a lot of issues, like
mental health for mental sure health.
It doesn't help mental health, it doesn't help physical health, like
no, it's true.
It's a wider issue and a wider conversation, and this is just one.
Yeah, so I was saying, like, I don't think that, like, this is a Bravo-specific issue, you know, getting that drunk. But obviously doing it on camera makes your life way harder.
Yeah, but also, like, having producers, like, encourage you to drink and then not address when you are sick the next day and make you go and film and then you're throwing up. Like, that's not, like, a good working environment.
Yeah, I didn't watch Ultimate Girls Trip, but in the Vanity Fair article, Leah McSweeney talks extensively about her. She was basically told, like, they're putting together Roni Legacy at this point. And so doing Ultimate Girls Trip will be really good for you if you want to get on Legacy. And at this point, she's, like, back in her sobriety, and she's, like, unwavering. And she gets just kind of, like, made fun of and, like, put down for being boring. And, like, Andy had all the women on from that particular season on Watch What Happens Live and was like, was Leah boring? And they just kind of like mock her about it.
Yeah, it's not the right environment if you're trying to like live a boring life. Really.
I do like I think hearing from Leah and Ebony and their like firsthand experience was powerful. I am skeptical of Bethany's motives in this because she's just, I can't read her. I feel like up until recently, like she was still riding the house, like her rewatch podcast, like she was still riding so hard. She was like so close with Andy. She goes on Watch Rebin's Live. Like she still uses the platform. I'm confused about her intentions, honestly.
Yeah. And I would like to know from other housewives from other cities. Like, I feel like not everything is as volatile as New York was in its, like, last and it's, season.
In the last couple of years, it was really bad.
Yeah.
You're right. Like, because honestly, one of the takeaways from my article, and again, I haven't finished it, but it was that it feels like a very Roni problem.
Yeah, but then they were talking about, like, anonymous housewives. And then I was like, that felt to me like someone from Beverly Hills, but like, no, maybe it was just another person. And if it was a Roni problem, then this article should be like, what happened to the Real Housewives of New York?
Yeah, because in the beginning of the article,
further down we get, like, it'll go into a new franchise. Just like we're starting with Roni, and here is like Bethany, Leah, Ebony, and then like maybe it goes into a new city.
Yeah.
Maybe not, though. I'll keep scrolling. And we apologize for not having finished this.
And then there's, Brandy Glanville, you're right. Brandy Glanville speaks.
Caroline Manzo, with Brandy Glanville.
Right. And then they obviously talk about Pump Rules and The Bachelor and just like the Love is Blind guy, like just the general state of the union on reality TV.
Got it. Okay, well, we'll finish reading it. We'll let you know tomorrow if there's anything really more, but you know, not the best look for Bravo. I don't think it's really going to like change much.
Me neither. I think that I could have guessed a lot of this. It's not, you know, you don't go to the network for moral, like we know what you're watching.
Yeah. And in the beginning of the article, they say like, this is the price that you pay for what you get in return. For some women, it's $1 million a season.
Right.
Okay. So you're going to wake up in your own urine and you're going to embarrass yourself and you're going to overdrink, but like that might be worth it to you for that paycheck.
Right. Or for that fame.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the women who go on don't do it for the money. They're set financially. It's a show about affluent women. Not really Roni anymore, but like the Roni women were doing it for money. But for a lot of the other women, it's just about popularity and fame.
Yeah.
Which when you go into something with that goal, 9 times out of 10, it's not going to work out for you. Like it's when those are your desires, it's fucked.
Yeah, but they were saying like after BravoCon, one year, anonymous housewife was like, how will I ever be happier than this? Like that level of, that's what they're there for.
That's what they're there for, right.
So everything has a price.
Yeah, Bravo is definitely just like a really interesting social experiment.
For sure, and I wouldn't say it's like a non-toxic environment.
No, I wouldn't either.
So, but I wouldn't have said that before either.
Right, I didn't learn really anything new from this article.
Yeah, but when tea is hot, I'll be sipping it.
Agreed.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yes.
Travis Barker is slamming the ridiculous rumor that his fling with Kim caused the feud with Courtney.
You know what? I'm glad.
Yeah. Honestly, the fact that he's addressing it on its head makes me feel like that's not the reason. But yeah. It was a crazy time nonetheless. So he did an extensive interview with the LA Times on Sunday, and he finally addressed the ridiculous speculation that began circulating when excerpts from his book resurfaced earlier this year. He said, quote, you give people a little information and they think they've solved this mystery of this is why they're fighting. It's just so ridiculous. It's like Courtney's fans are worried about Travis. He's a womanizer. Stop it, he added. In his book, he called Kim fucking hot and admitted to secretly checking her out while he dated Paris. He said, I obviously shared all that stuff because I wanted to move past it. It was therapeutic for me. He further insisted there was no drama within the Kardashian family over his short-lived crush on Kim. He said, that's her sister. She knows we used to talk. Nothing bad was going on.
No, I'm sorry. Like, it's so weird. It's weird. Like, as someone with sisters, oh my God, I could never.
Okay, no. Think about, like, someone who I used to talk to 10 years ago. Maybe even more.
No, I can't.
You can't. And say, like, snitch wound up marrying them. No, not that weird.
It's weird. And I guess maybe that's not weird, but what's weird is that if that guy wrote a book and told people, like, and then I would die.
Yeah. But he wrote it, like, before
he
got with Courtney. So he was just, like, sharing.
No, I know. I'm sorry. Like, it's undeniably odd. It's just odd.
But do you believe him that that's not the source of the rift? I do. I don't think it's as simple as that. And we've seen tensions brewing between Courtney and Kim for years.
Agreed. But I will say I loved Courtney's Halloween costume.
Perfection.
Culturally relevant. On theme, you know, pregnant is, it's hard to be pregnant and do a costume.
Yeah.
Loved. And it also just kind of, for me at least, buries this fight that they've been having because they're obviously cool if she's doing that. Like Kim had to lend her the dress.
It was the exact dress.
I think so.
That's so funny. Perfect. I loved pregnant it. Costume. Yeah.
Perfect pregnant costume. And the fact that it ended up, you know, perfect pregnant costume for any pregnant person. But the fact that Kim is her sister makes it even better.
And she looks like her. So they looked identical.
I loved it.
Yeah. Any other good costumes that you want to share?
Like, no.
Yeah.
What about you?
No. I didn't see that much.
Yeah, like,
no,
everybody just kind of, like, gave up this year, and I'm so here for it.
Yeah. Agreed. Are you ready for our next story?
What number?
4.
Oh, my God, no.
Oh, my gosh.
4.
Gotta get ready.
4 is brought to you by Hatch Restore. As we get older, our responsibilities and challenges increase, causing stress levels to rise. Prioritizing quality sleep is one of the best ways to take care of yourself. Instead of lingering on your phone before bed, make sleep your simplest self-care routine with the Hatch Restore 2. You guys know I am in my low-lift wellness era. I want to do wellness things, but I'm not like meditating and going on hikes. So I asked people, I'm like, what are good low-lift wellness things that I can do? And everyone said the Hatch. Let me tell you, my mornings are so different. I love the unwind before bed stuff with Hatch, but I really love how they wake you up with the sounds and the light. It's so civilized.
Civilized.
Jackie, add it to the list of things you told me to get. And then I finally did. So the Hatch Restore 2 is your bedside sleep guide. It's your ally in rest. The innovative all-in-one dream machine is a sophisticated sound machine, light, and alarm clock that's beautifully designed for your bedside table. Good rest allows you to be the best version of yourself, which is why the Hatch Restore 2 was engineered to help you form healthy sleep habits for life. Your Hatch teaches your body when it's time to go to sleep, when it's time to rise, with light and sound cues. It coaches you through meditations and mindful exercises that transform the time before and after sleep. I can't lie, I don't do the meditations, but if that's for you, love that. I love the lights. Ben loves, I never heard of pink noise before.
Pink noise, brown noise.
Ben loves the pink noise. We sleep at full volume every night. So right now, Hatch is offering our listeners $20 off your purchase of a Hatch Restore 2 and free shipping at hatch.co/toast. Sleep deeply and wake gently with the Restore 2. Go to hatch.co/toast to get $20 off and free shipping. That's hatch.co/toast. Today's episode is also brought to you by the Skylight Frame. Is there someone in your life who's hard to give a gift to? A spouse, friend, sister, mom, grandma, etc.? Well, check out the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is everything you need. It's a touchscreen digital picture frame that allows you to send photos straight to your phone and they appear in seconds. It's holiday season. Like, for so many people on your list, the Skylight Frame is the best and only option. It's the perfect gift for a grandparent, new parents, a spouse. You can effortlessly send photos from your phone to the frame with the free Skylight app or the unique email. It's so easy to use, even if you're not tech friendly, or you know, you're sending it to your grandma who's not tech friendly. Setup takes less than 60 seconds, and the touchscreen is so beautiful. It's also a game changer. You can swipe through the photos, tap to see new photos sent. There's even like a little like button. It looks beautiful in your home. They have new color options that match any style. So it comes in black, white, silver, and a limited edition poppy, which is an orangey red. And of course, it also comes in gold. Comes in two sizes, the 10 inch or the 15 inch gallery frame. It's better than social media. It has thoughtful features like using the app, displaying photos without Wi-Fi. Satisfaction guaranteed. They're confident that you'll love Skylight, that they're offering a free 120-day return. So over a million happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and as a special limited-time offer for our listeners, get $15 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/toast. That'll get $15 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/toast. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/toast.
Thank you, Claude.
You're welcome.
Next story, Leonardo DiCaprio's new girlfriend, Victoria Ciretti, grabs his butt in a not-safe-for-work moment at a Halloween party. So the 25-year-old model was all smiles in the steamy pictures as she slid her hand into Leo's underwear to cop a feel at a bash in L.A. on Saturday night. She was dressed in a bright red wig, and he seemed to be dressed as himself for the party. It's just crazy that we have a picture of this.
Yeah, so you're saying Leonardo DiCaprio likes butt stuff. And honestly, this is gross. This is gross. Now, of course, like, it's an intimate moment, and it's not like they were out in public, like, being gross. Like, this is a moment that shouldn't have been photographed.
It's a private moment.
Right. So, like, I do feel bad that, like, this is, like, this shouldn't have been shared. It's, like, rude.
It's like, did she then go put her hand in the chips bowl?
Not the mixed nuts. You're so right. I hope she washed her hands. But also, like, was it just cheek?
It looks to be in the center. Like,
no.
Yeah, like it's like her wrist, I would say just her hand is in. Like, her wrist starts to, it's not like all the way deep in.
Okay, wait, I have to
look. But it is centered. So it's like, it's giving crack.
I was just going to say, it's giving crack. I'm now like studying. It also looks like in one of the photos, she's kind of making eye contact with the paparazzi.
No, she's looking up and to the right a little bit. Okay, and I don't think it's paparazzi. Like, I feel like this is like someone's cell phone.
Because this is like a back patio of a house. This is a private moment for sure.
Yeah.
I also like don't even know this girl. Who is she?
She's an Italian runway model.
Okay. I mean, now that I'm looking at the hand placement, it's 100% giving crack, which I guess is better than hole, but not better than cheek.
Yeah. Agreed. It goes cheek.
Crack. Hole.
Hole.
By the way, that's the title today. Cheek, crack, hole. Cheek, crack, hole.
I feel bad that we like know about this photo and that we have to, you know, do our jobs and analyze it. But we were not meant to see this. And like, people should be entitled to a private moment. But it's also like, you know, they're at a party and they are big stars and people watch what you do.
I just want to say, like, crack is bad. Like,
crack is whack.
Cheek is like really, it's innocent. Like, cheek is skin, you know? There's a lot of action at the crack, especially men. They have hairy cracks. They have like dingleberries and stuff. Crack is gross.
Yeah.
The more I think about it.
I just want to know if she then hit up the chips and dip.
Yeah. It's a question. The good thing about Hollywood parties, they really don't have snacks.
That's true. But like, I don't know, even if she touched the doorknob, like.
I know. Like, now we have to go around thinking, like, going to restaurants and stuff. Like, did somebody touch a crack and then put their hand on this door?
But you already should be thinking of that. And there are other things that people could touch their own crack. They don't wash their hands. Like, just wash your hands, you know.
Just wash your hands. That's kind of like the message.
It always is. It always has been and always will be.
You tell him, sis.
So I'm glad that he's found love with an age appropriate girl.
Kind of.
No. Not like in his cat. And like, he's literally a joke. Like, she's 25.
Yeah. He's literally a joke.
Like, if I were him, I wouldn't date someone under 25 just so I wouldn't keep getting joked about.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause once he dates someone who's 26, like, the jokes write themselves.
Yeah. No. And it's like, then you can break that myth busting.
Right.
But it's like, she's legit 25 model. Yeah.
Model. So not creative.
No. So anyways, wash your hands, everyone.
Wash your hands.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
I don't know, am I? You're giving me sort of like a sinister look.
It's a lot. Like, there's a lot to unpack.
Okay.
But it's like kind of crazy what's going on with the Snow White movie.
Obsessed.
So
you know, this isn't a Snow White who's going to get saved by a prince. That interview of Rachel Zegler.
It's giving Emma Watson.
She's getting dragged like she is.
Okay, well, Disney is delaying their release of the live-action Snow White reboot, which they've already spent $330 million on. Wow. They're delaying it by a year and dumping the diverse dwarfs after star Rachel Zegler sparked fury with a woke rant against the 1937 original.
So there's two things going on
here. Two things. This movie is mired in controversy, one because of Rachel Zegler's recent comments, two because of what's going on with the dwarfs, which is actually maybe crazier.
Yeah, I agree.
So over the summer, the film received negative attention after it was revealed by Daily Mail that the seven dwarfs, who were iconic roles in the original film, were to be replaced by seven magical non-dwarf creatures in an effort to keep the storytelling in line with 21st century's commitment to political correctness. There was a picture that was leaked on set of the movie, and it included a mix of men and women of different ethnicities with one real dwarf among their number. At first, Disney denied these pictures were from the set of the movie, but eventually they backtracked. But now, in a new publicity shot for the movie, Rachel Zegler is seated and surrounded by seven CGI dwarfs with the diverse originals nowhere to be seen. So it's like, not only are they putting these diverse original actors out of work, but also they're putting dwarfs, like, acting dwarfs.
No, and also the way Disney's doing everything not to give work to the actor dwarf community. First of all, they should have been cast originally. Like, do you know how few fucking roles there are?
Right.
For an actor who's also a dwarf, like, they wait a lifetime for a role like this. Two, then they finally use dwarves and they're CGI?
Right.
But that's probably because of the SAG strike, by the way.
No, I don't think so. I think they're trying to like blame it on the strike as to why the movie will be delayed. But no, because these promotional pictures, they would have been shot like months ago. They're just like coming out now. But I think also the issue, because I remember like Peter Dinklage was on a podcast talking about like Snow White and how
he was very against using dwarves.
He was just against the... I feel like he was against the premise, the film's premise itself and their use of dwarves in the movie. But it's like, if you're going to make the movie and you're just going to like recast the dwarves, I don't think that's helpful. I think his issue is like, either don't make the movie. It's a problematic movie. Then it's problematic, period.
Right, right.
And they were like, you know, trying to correct all these other things about the movie. And he's like, this core thing is the problem.
Right,
also,
right.
Also, is the word dwarf offensive?
I don't think so. I think little person and dwarfism are okay. Obviously, okay. No one's allowed, like, you never use the M word.
Okay. Okay.
But I think so.
Because maybe like changing the name, but still giving like,
I do think
the actors the opportunity.
Actually, I think you're onto something. I think the correct term is little person, and the medical like diagnosis is dwarfism. Right. But I actually don't know if you should say like dwarf.
Right, so maybe there could be like a different, I don't know what the solution is, but neither does Disney. And these two solutions are terrible, to just keep the concept but not employ the actors.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. And I'm sure if you're a little person whose dream is to be an actor, there are so fucking few opportunities for, you know, there's only one, what's his name? What's Peter Dinklage's character? Tyrion. In Game of, there's only one Tyrion Lannister, okay? There's not a million opportunities like that. And I'm sure Peter Dinklage is, he's really like the face of his community.
Yeah.
And that sucks that there's no roles for an actor who's a little person. Like, that sucks.
Yeah. And now they're going to be replaced by CGI when it's like, isn't that what the whole strike is about? Like, please don't AI. Replace us.
Yeah. And then there's the other part that I had seen on TikTok.
Yes.
Where Rachel Zegler and, you know, I love her, Gal Gadot, are being cringe. Like, they're, you know, bringing their woman first energy to this kind of antiquated role. I think we all just really kind of need to accept that, like, the Disney movies are old school. And that's okay. You know,
no, like, and it's like, either don't remake them or make them with people who can accept that and just,
or make,
you know,
new ones like Moana. Like, she's a female character. She's a leader. She's a warrior. Frozen. She's leading her community. Frozen. She's a queen.
Girl power.
Like, right.
The power of sisterhood.
So to try and redo movies that people find problematic, I just don't think you're ever going to win. Like, because people like them.
And
people
to
like
cast them with people who find them problematic. Like, right. There are people who are like, yeah, I'll be Snow White. I don't care.
So there's like this interview of Rachel Zegler and Gal Gadot being asked about it on a red carpet. And like, it's just giving like cringe. Like, Rachel Zegler's like, this Snow White, like, she's not going to be waiting for a prince. And we're all just like, crickets.
She's literally waiting for a prince.
She's literally dead until a man kisses her. Like, that's the movie.
That's the movie.
That's the premise of the movie. So, me, like, don't do it.
Don't, seriously.
Don't revamp it. Don't do the role. Like,
yeah, don't sign on to a movie that you hate. Like,
right. And you have to, like,
do
give
press.
A prerequisite for when you are asked questions about it. Like, you yeah. need a disclaimer.
A million girls would kill
for that role.
For that role to be saved by the prince.
Yeah.
They wouldn't say, they would say Snow White is a great gal.
I also feel like Rachel Zegler is just like having like a slew of bad press in like recent years. She almost like can't get out of her own way. First with that Oscars thing.
Yeah.
And I just feel like she's made herself like kind of unlikable.
Yeah.
And she like hates that video of herself that made her viral, which is she's like refuses to like let people acknowledge that that made her famous. She's like, no, I was booked for a movie before. Like, I believe it. The only reason I know who Rachel Zegler is because of that video. And it's an amazing video.
Yeah. And she's like doing a lot, but I've never seen her in anything.
She was in West Side Story.
Which was just buried.
Yeah. Because there was a lot of controversy.
Ansel.
Yeah. Then there was the Oscar thing. So
I wonder if it was good, West Side Story.
Wait, it was Steven Spielberg.
I feel like it wasn't good because if it was good, the cream rises and people would be like, it's good, it's good.
Yeah, you're right, you're right.
It was probably atrocious. Sound off in the comments.
That's on Steven Spielberg.
Did you? Yeah, that's like, that tracks. Did you watch West Side Story? Is it good? Should we add it to our holiday movie list?
I don't think so.
People let us know.
Yeah, but the thing is with Rachel Zegler, she's enormously talented. Like, singing-wise. And right. She's a very talented, skilled artist. Yeah. But I think a lot of her public persona mars that. You know, people have a hard time seeing past that because things like this go viral and it's just, it's a little, like, out of touch.
Yeah.
And cringe.
Yeah, but she thinks that this is what people, like, want to hear.
Right, she's slaying.
It's a slay. Girl.
Yeah.
Bossing.
Girl
so
boss
close
town.
To the
yeah.
sun.
Girl boss town.
But it's a little too close.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. And like, these are classics. Like, just leave them. Let them.
I know. Like, what, can we just all have an understanding? Like, yeah, the classics, deeply problematic. But like, we could still enjoy them.
Yeah.
With the understanding of like, things have changed, of course.
Yeah, no, but like, even Beauty and the Beast. Like, if you read too much into it, she fell in love with her captor.
Stockholm
like, she literally
syndrome.
Was ready to like, fuck a beast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But nobody even talks about like, the bestiality.
She didn't even know he was like, a low-key
person.
Prince.
Yeah.
She was ready to like.
She was down to clown.
That's why you just can't think about it too much.
Right.
Just enjoy it for what it is.
That's the whole premise of being entertained. It's a suspense of disbelief. You know, we know in real life, you just have to like forget it.
Forget it. I've been waiting for a true love's kiss.
Is that Snow White? Snow White is one of the
no,
Disney
that's
movies.
Enchanted. Oh.
Snow White is one of the Disney movies I'm like, honestly, I'm familiar with. What songs are from Snow White?
Let's
is
look
that a
it
good
up.
Call?
That is a good call. I think there's one where they're like marching, her and the dwarves. Snow White. And now it's like conflated with Snow White and the Huntsman. So they tried to do.
Right. They did it twice.
Whistle While You Work? That's like.
I don't know it. What else?
There's a ton, but not, Someday My Prince Will Come.
I don't think I know that one either. Like maybe I just subconsciously distanced myself from Snow White because I knew it was problematic.
Hi ho, hi ho. That's the one.
It's off to work we go. It's off to work we go. That's a good one.
That was the marching song I was thinking of.
Got it.
Great. There's others, but I don't know them. They're not like hi ho.
Honestly, I would just really like to hear from like an actor who is a little person. Like, what are your thoughts on this?
Agreed.
And of course, like everybody goes to Peter Dinklage because he's like the most famous one. But I wanted like struggling actors, people who are up and coming. You know, it's easy for Peter Dinklage almost.
But also not even actors, just the little people in general. Like, what do you think about this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true. I defer to them.
Yeah. Sound off in the comments. I'm very curious.
Yeah. We'll keep you posted. This is going to be a years long saga.
Yeah. It's murky.
Yeah.
But at least we have Snow White and the Huntsman and Mirror Mirror, which came out at the same time right on cue.
Yeah. And honestly, at least we have Beauty and the Beast.
And we have great songs from Snow White and the Huntsman. Those Florence and the Machine.
Oh, you're right. They went so hard on that movie.
They did.
Fired on all cylinders.
I feel like it wasn't appreciated in its time.
I don't even think it did well. And that was because it was another Snow White movie live action that literally came out at the same time.
Mirror, Mirror, but they were so different.
But like that remains one of the mysteries. Why did both of those movies get made at the exact same time?
Like why couldn't one just be shelved for like 5 years and we could have enjoyed both and had them spaced out and then we would have this one coming up too.
Right.
Like, everyone was all hot for Snow White. Now they can't even figure out how to do it. It's weird.
It's so true. I do think on the scale of, like, all the different old school classic Disney films, Snow White is probably one of the more murky ones, you know?
Yeah,
one,
because it's the, you know.
It's the concept of. Right. And she's sleeping.
She's sleeping. It's not consensual kiss.
Right, right. That one's probably the one that has the most issues. That's probably the one I wouldn't remake.
Right. But, like, Cinderella. Cute,
right?
They
unproblematic.
They remade it, and I think it went off well.
Which one are you talking about, Camila Cabello?
Richard Madden. No, the Camila Cabello, yeah, I guess they did remake it again.
That I feel like it was like a non-associated. That had like a soundtrack. That was like a, it was giving Janis Joplin, you know, from 30 Rock. Like they didn't have the license because they didn't even have like actual Cinderella music in that Camila Cabello, Idina Menzel one. They used like Nickelback songs. Like they used regular pop music.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was you're right. Janis you're talking Joplin. About Lily James.
Lily James and Richard Madden. That was like live action Cinderella, which I've seen bits of. It's like so good, but I don't know. That story just like doesn't resonate with me.
Me neither, but Cinderella isn't problematic. And I will say the best Cinderella rendition is of course Whitney Houston.
Oh yeah. But also then we also got like a Cinderella story.
Another Cinderella story.
And one more Cinderella story.
Yeah, that's
run
true.
Run it back Cinderella story.
So Cinderella I think is like a safe one. Beauty and the Beast, like it has like a couple flare ups, but it's really not
the
that
thing
bad.
Is it's too good to deny. If it wasn't as good, like people would stop like trying to make fetch happen with it. But it's like it's so good that we all can turn a blind eye.
I don't think The Little Mermaid is problematic. She's like a woman fighting for her voice, right?
Yeah. And she was just remade and...
And it was good.
It was good. It was really good. People love it. I haven't seen it, but I've heard such good things.
What other ones? Aladdin is, you know, I think they have some issues with Aladdin, no? Mm. Because a bunch of the characters are like thieves.
Oh, I don't know. I think they made a recent Aladdin. They like made a live action, but I don't think it was good was the problem.
No, and I actually heard a really interesting story about that lead character whose name I don't know. He wasn't relatively famous, and he was basically saying, like, I was in the biggest movie of the year, like, at the time, and I have not been able to get a single job at, like, have you, the guy who played Aladdin, did you tell me his name?
No.
No, he got, like, no success after that. It was really interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah, he thought it would, like, change his life, big break, the beginning of something, and it was just, like, this one movie.
Yeah.
Kind of like Nikki Blonsky.
Kind of like the guy who played opposite Brandy in Cinderella.
Yes. He was a cutie and he went nowhere.
Nowhere.
Yeah.
I wonder why. And then I feel like there are a lot of movies that haven't been remade. I don't know if they
The Lion King was remade. I don't think The Lion King is problematic. The Lion King
was perfection.
That most recent recreation like actually brought me to tears.
It's so good. It's on par with Beauty and the Beast live action. Like I watched
that opening. It's one of the most beautiful things.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
That opening scene.
The opening, it's perfect.
With the drums. Oh my God, chilling.
Yeah, if you haven't watched that one, you got to watch it.
Yeah. What other ones have been recreated like recently?
I don't know. Do you think they'll ever do like live action Frozen? Live action Moana? Because those are like newer, I guess. And they're not Disney, are they?
Yeah, they are. They Pixar? Pixar is Disney, right?
I don't know.
Disney Pixar? I think it is. It is.
Okay. So.
Interesting.
There you go.
There you go. That's a story that is developing.
Developing. And we'll keep you posted.
And that was our show. Those were the Fast Five. Gorgeous to be back with you all this week.
You as well.
And I hope you guys have a great day. Thank you so much for listening to The Toast.
Tomorrow's our Halloween episode.
Oh, sorry. Tomorrow's our Halloween episode.
So that's a big one. And I'm really excited.
Me too.
I've got to get into character.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the Toast and Lenny Morning Show, where we deliver the Fast Five stories that you need to know every Monday, Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us the Toast, leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have an amazing, Trey fabulous day. And we'll see you tomorrow for Toast-a-ween 2023. Ooh. Spooky. Ooh. Bye.
Love you. Bye.